Now we're going to turn this evening, please, in God's Word to the New Testament book of Ephesians. We're turning to Ephesians chapter number 5, the fifth chapter of the book of Ephesians. You'll find Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus in the middle part of the New Testament. And we're reading from Ephesians chapter 5, beginning our reading at the verse number 8 of the chapter, just going down to the end of the verse number 21. And I would encourage you in your own home, wherever you are, to get out your Bible, read along with us, indeed pray as you read that God will speak and that God will bless His Word to all our hearts this evening. Ephesians chapter 5 and the verse number 8, let us hear the Word of the Lord as we read it together. It says, "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doeth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another, in the fear of God." Amen. We'll end our reading there at verse 21. And our prayer is that God will bless this reading of His eternal and infallible Word to all our hearts. Now, the verse I want us to look at tonight are the words of verse number 15 of Ephesians chapter number 5. It says, "See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." Now, in our Bible reading, we see here how God's people are called upon by God to reprove the evil conversation, if you like, the evil lifestyle of the ungodly and of those that know not the Lord. And you see that particularly emphasized in verse 11 of the chapter, where it says, "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them." If the Christian is to do this effectively, then it is vital that the child of God also themselves maintain a good testimony before the world. His whole life must be that which becometh the gospel of Jesus Christ. In other words, his life, his testimony, must bring glory to the Lord. Sadly, there can be, yes, professing Christians, and yes, they may rebuke the ungodly with their tongue. But sadly, their own lifestyle does not glorify the Lord, and consequently, such bring great reproach to the cause of Christ and to the work of the Lord. Well, believer tonight, if you're a Christian listening in tonight, realize this, that you and I as believers are to live for God's honor and God's glory. Yes, it is imperative, yes, that we reprove the ways of the ungodly and the ways of the evildoer. But if we are to do that effectively, if we are to do that in a manner that glorifies the Lord, then as Christians, you and I must maintain a good testimony for Christ before the world. You and I who are saved, we must have, a wise testimony for Jesus Christ before the world. And that is what the Apostle Paul is referring to here in verse 15 of Ephesians chapter 5, When he says, "See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." And this being so then, what then are the marks of a good testimony before the Lord? What is a wise testimony, not only before the Lord, but before the world, for the Christian, for the child of God? There are a number of things I want to set before you here in connection with this, the subject here that has been dealt with by Paul in this verse. Notice first of all here with me that a good testimony for the Christian means obeying God's word. Now turn with me in your Bible back to the Old Testament book of Joshua, Joshua chapter 22 and the verse number 5. Just look at this verse here in your Bible here. Joshua is speaking to ancient Israel, and he is really telling them there how they were to live as God's people in the promised land. And look at what he says to them in verse 5 of Joshua chapter 22. He says, "But take diligent heed to do the commandment and the law, which Moses the servant of the Lord charged you, to love the Lord your God, and to walk in all his ways, and to keep his commandments, and to cleave unto him, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul." Notice the emphasis there upon keeping the law of God, the commandments of God, obeying the word of God. It says, take diligent heed to do the commandment and the law. If you go back to Deuteronomy chapter number 4, just back to the previous book before the book of Joshua, back to Deuteronomy chapter number 4, and if you look at verse 1 and verse 2 and then also verses 5 and 6, here you'll see similar advice from Moses to Israel of old. It says in verse 1 of Deuteronomy chapter 4, "Now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you, for to do them, that ye may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers giveth you. Ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God which I command you." Then look at verse 5 and verse 6. "Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that ye should do so in the land whither ye go to possess it. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and an understanding people." Notice what Moses said there to Israel. He said, if you are to have a good testimony before the ungodly nations, that they are to view you as a wise and an understanding people, then be a people who obey the word of God. Be a people who live out the word of God and the truth of God. And dear people of God tonight, can I say, just as these words were applicable to Israel in the day of Moses, and indeed in the day of Joshua, so these same words are equally applicable to you and I who are saved by the grace of God today. Yes, these words are equally applicable if you and I are to live a good testimony before the world for the Lord Jesus Christ in this world and in the scene of time. Yes, dear Christian, you and I are to heed God's word. What does that involve? Yes, it involves loving the Lord. It involves walking in the ways of God. It involves keeping the commandments of the Lord. It involves cleaving to the Lord and to his word. It involves us serving the Lord with all our heart and with all our soul. You know, dear child of God, to say that we are Christians and to have no regard for the word of God, and to have no regard for the teaching of the word of God, is really but a contradiction of terms in our life. You remember what the Lord Jesus Christ said to his disciples. He said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." And there he tells us that the mark of our love to Christ is a keeping of the commandments of God, a living by the word of God, a living out of the word of God in our lives. Isaac Watts, the great preacher and hymn writer of a bygone day, said these words. He said, "The sum of all counsel for regulating your behavior towards God and man in every station of your lives is that blessed word of God." And Isaac Watts was right when he spoke there of the counsel of the word of God being that which is needed to regulate and guide and direct our lives. Remember again what Christ said in John chapter 8, verse 31. He says, "If you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed." What's the mark of a disciple for Christ? Whoever he is, whoever she is, wherever they are to be found, it's a continuance in the word of God, a living out of the word of God in our lives day by day. Child of God, and praying for yourself, praying for your fellow believer in the Lord, pray for grace. Grace to live out the word of God. Grace to keep the word of God. Yes, a good testimony means obeying God's word. But in the second place, we can also say tonight that a good testimony means words that are gracious and words that are pure. Yes, a good testimony means gracious words and pure words for the Christian. Turn over to the book of Colossians, just on over from our Bible reading tonight. You'll come to Philippians, then you'll come to Colossians. Turn to Colossians chapter number 4 and look with me, please, at verse 5 and verse 6 of this chapter. Look at what it says. It says, "Walk in wisdom." Here, speaking of a good testimony, it says, "Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time." Look at verse 6. "Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man." Here the Apostle Paul was counseling God's people in the church at Colossae. And if they were to have a good testimony, a wise testimony before the world, before the ungodly, then they were to be a people, he says, whose speech was seasoned with grace and seasoned with salt. In other words, their words were to be gracious words. When we think of salt, we think of that is pure. In other words, the reference is there to words that are pure. They were to have a good testimony before the ungodly. If they were to be able to answer others aright, then their speech, their words needed to be marked by words that were gracious and words that were pure. And child of God, can I say the same applies to you and I as well? You think of our tongue, that part of our body. It's a very small part of our body. And no doubt it goes without saying that the tongue can be a tremendous influence for good, but it can also be a terrible influence for harm. James reminds us of the power of the tongue. He says, "The tongue is a little member and boasts of great things." In other words, it can do great things, even though it is a little member in the physical body of man. You think tonight of the tongue of the ungodly. The tongue of the ungodly is marked by harshness, by hardness, by anger, by bitterness. It's also often marked by language that is impure and foul. Well, believer in Christ, our tongues are not to be like that. Our tongues are to be the very opposite of that. If you and I, yes, if we are to be a blessing to others, if we are to be a faithful witness before the ungodly, then we must be those who speak true words, who speak right words, who speak gracious words, who speak pure words. You remember the prayer of David in Psalm 19, verse 14. He says there, "Let the words of my mouth be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord." He was praying before the Lord that the Lord would guide his words and direct his speech aright, that it be that brings glory to the Lord. Child of God, think of your Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says that in Christ there was no guile. In other words, his words were always true words. They were always right words. His words were gracious words. Turning your Bible back to Luke's Gospel, chapter number 4. Look at what it says here about our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 22 of Luke chapter 4, it says of Christ, and all bear him witness and wondered, it says, at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, is not this Joseph's sons? They wondered at the gracious words. His speech was marked by graciousness, by the very grace of God. O believer in Christ, and praying for yourself and praying for your fellow believer, pray for gracious words, words that are right, words that are true, words that are pure. This is vital for a good testimony before the world. But we can say also in the third place that a good testimony for the Christian also means turning away from that which is evil. Think again of what is said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 22. It says there, abstain from all appearance of evil. That word abstain means to hold off from it. It really means separation. It means an avoidance. Think again of those words there in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 11, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Again, it speaks of a separation from evil. Brethren and sisters in Christ, yes, you and I were to turn away from all that is evil and sinful in this world, just as you perhaps may turn away from someone who had an infectious disease. We're to turn away from evil. Turn away from sin and that which is contrary to God. The Lord says to you and I who are saved, he says, be holy for I am holy. His word says, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. My, our lives are to be different from the ungodly. Child of God, bear that in mind in the society in which we live today. There's to be a line of demarcation between the life of the Christian and the life of the ungodly. Lo, in the world, we are not to be like the world. The Bible says, be not conformed to this world. Christian, be careful today in the society in which we live. Be careful what you see. Be careful what you hear. Be careful of the influences around your life day by day, wherever you might be it at work, be it in your own private time, be it in your interaction with others in the community, and of that which around you is sinful and evil, turn away. Turn away your ear. Turn away your eye. Turn away your heart from that which is contrary to the Word of God. The Bible says to you and I who are saved, it says, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. How we're to turn away from that which is wrong and evil and corrupt in the sight of God. And notice here how Paul emphasizes this to the Christians in the church at Ephesus. Look at what he says there in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 3 to 7 of the chapter. He says, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints, neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger nor unclean person nor covetous man who is an idolater have any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. And here Paul was dealing, yes, with the marks of the ungodly, their lifestyle. He says to God's people there in verse 7, be not ye therefore partakers with them. In other words, turn away from that which is wrong and evil and corrupt in the sight of God, and that which is contrary to the Word of God. The hymn writer says to you and I who are saved, the hymn writer says, if we consciously trifle with sin, we will barriers be and a hindrance to those we are trying to win. And child of God, and praying for yourself, praying for your fellow believers, pray for grace, pray for help, enablement from God to live a holy life, a life that brings honor and glory to God, a life that is different from the lifestyles and the way and the spirit of the ungodly of this world, those who know not the Lord. Yes, we can say a good testimony means turning away from that which is evil. But we can also say in the fourth place tonight that a good testimony for the Christian means watching for our Lord's return. Turn in your Bible back to Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 25. Matthew chapter number 25. And here we deal with the parable of the 10 virgins that really speaks to us about the coming of Christ. Look at verse number 5 and verse number 6 of Matthew chapter 25. It says, "While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept." The wise and the foolish virgins, they all slumbered and slept. And it says in verse 6, "And at midnight there was a cry made, 'Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him.'" And notice that statement, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him." That speaks to us about the coming of Christ, our heavenly bridegroom, the one who is coming back to this world in power and in great glory to claim his bride, his people, to gather his people unto himself in heaven and glory. And on account of that, look at the counsel to you and I who are saved in verse 13 of the same chapter. It says, "Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh." We're to be watching, expecting and waiting for the coming of the Lord. Yes, the Lord Jesus Christ is our heavenly bridegroom. He's coming back again in power and glory. Yes, he's coming back to put down all wickedness and to judge the ungodly, but he's also coming to gather his people into heaven, to gather his bride unto himself. The Bible says that when Christ returns, that the dead in Christ shall rise first, then we which are alive shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And in heaven we'll be in that place of everlasting fellowship with the Lord of glory for all of eternity. This is the great hope of the church, the great hope of all redeemed saints of God, and this is a hope, child of God, that you and I must ever keep before us, waiting and watching and looking for the return of Christ. You know, such a hope, yes, will encourage us to live as Christians loose to the world. It will encourage us to live for God's honor and glory. It will encourage us to walk circumspectly. Peter, speaking to God's people about the coming of the Lord, he says this, "Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness?" R.A. Torrey, speaking of the return of Christ, he said this, he said, "The return of the Lord is the great Bible argument for a pure, unselfish, devoted, unworldly, active life of service in the Christian." And dear believer tonight, just pray that God would help you, indeed your fellow believer in Christ, to be ever watching, looking for the return of Christ. My, the Bible says, "Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching." Child of God, day by day be watching, looking for the coming of the Lord. The Bible says, "The coming of the Lord draweth nigh." And child of God, this is what it means to walk circumspectly in this world. This is what it means to have a good testimony, a wise testimony. Ephesians 5 verse 15 says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." Think of that word, circumspectly. Speaks of a good testimony, a wise testimony before the world for the Christian. You think of how a person walks over broken glass that perhaps is strewn on the path or on the road before them. They watch every step, every move they make. They're watching here and there. The thought is, dear Christian, in this world as believers, you and I also must be watching our every step. We must walk circumspectly. And my, such a walk is vital, yes, because we live in a world where the devil is ever ready to pounce and attack us as God's people. We also live in a world where we are surrounded day by day by temptations to sin and to take us away from the things of God. And also we ourselves have a heart, the Bible says, that is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Hence we must walk circumspectly. Also it's important that we walk circumspectly if we are to honor our Savior, honor the Lord in our spirit, Honor the Lord in our words. Honor the Lord in our actions and in our deeds day by day. And praise God, dear believer in Christ, can I say there's help? There's help for you and I to walk circumspectly. There's help for you and I to maintain a good testimony in our lives day by day and before the world. And where is that help found? It is found through the infilling day by day in our lives of God, the Holy Spirit. Look at what Paul says further on down this chapter in verse 18. It's all within the context of this this walk that is pleasing to God and this good testimony before the world. In verse 18 there, the emphasis is upon the infilling of the Holy Spirit in our lives as Christians. It says, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit of God. This just isn't a one-off experience. It speaks of a day-by-day experience in the life of the Christian, in the life of you and I are saved, a seeking of God, a calling upon God, a crying to the Lord for the infilling of God, the Holy Ghost, the empowering of the Spirit of God within our heart and life and soul. Just as alcohol controls a man's person, so the believer is to be controlled and under the influence of God, the Holy Ghost, day by day, guided and directed by the Spirit of the Lord. Throughout the Bible, you read of those who were guided and directed and filled with the Spirit of God. And my, this is a blessing for us all who are saved by the grace of God. This is our portion in Christ. The hymn writer says, the Holy Spirit, Lord alone, can turn our hearts from sin. His power alone can sanctify and keep us pure within. And child of God, I encourage you to pray. Pray daily that God would fill you with His Holy Spirit. Pray for your fellow Christian, those believers that you know, those involved in the service of God, those that God has brought you into contact with. Pray. Pray for yourself. Pray for your fellow believer in Christ. Pray that your heart and your life and your soul would be filled day by day by the power of God, the Holy Ghost. You take time to read down this chapter later on this evening, Ephesians chapter 5, and Paul just isn't writing here to preachers or those in the forefront, so to speak, of the work of God. He's writing to God's people, to husbands, to wives, to fathers, to mothers, later on to children, to servants, to believers in every walk of life. In other words, he's saying here, wherever we are in life, whatever our vocation is, whatever our calling in life is, in that vocation, in that life, be it the home, be it the workplace, be it somewhere else out in the community, in the providence of God, God wants you and I to bear a good testimony for Him. He wants us to walk circumspectly. And to do that, we must be a people who are filled with God, the Holy Ghost. Child of God, this is the pathway to a good testimony. This is the pathway to walking circumspectly in this world and in this scene of time. Pray day by day, dear Christian, as you begin your day with God. Pray that God would fill you to the uttermost with the Holy Ghost, with the Spirit of the living God. Should you be listening in tonight and you're on sea, let me say this, that if you are to be wise in the sight of God, if your life is to be marked by wisdom in the sight of God, let me say this, you must start with salvation. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, it speaks there of being made wise. It says, unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. What does that mean? It means you coming as a repentant sinner, repenting of your sin, turning away from your sin, acknowledging your need as a sinner before God, and it means you coming by faith to Christ. Not just knowing about Christ, but coming in faith to Christ, resting upon Christ, and depending upon His sacrifice alone. Depending on His blood alone that He shed upon the cross for the forgiveness of your sins. Depending upon His righteousness alone, his perfect righteousness for acceptance with God. Yes, the Christ of God, the Son of God, who died upon the cross, who rose again. He's the one you must trust in. He's the one you must embrace by faith. You are to be made wise unto salvation and begin a life of walking with God. Friend, tonight, if you're not saved, come now to the Lord. Confess your sins to him. Trust in him. Rest upon his blood alone to wash away your sins. The Bible says the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Trust him as your Savior. Begin a life of walking with God, serving God, living for God, a life that will take you one day to heaven, one day to glory. May God bless his word tonight to all our hearts for Jesus' sake and glory. Amen. We're just going to close in a word of prayer, but before we do so, I just want to leave with you a few prayer requests. These are matters you can pray about now in your own home, wherever you are. Do please pray for the work of Bethel Children's Crusade. Pray for our sister, Mrs. Gillian Moore, if she oversees that work. Pray God's blessing upon it. There are DVDs now being produced week by week, and these have been sent out. These are really in the format of a regular children's meeting, been posted out to all the children connected with the Bethel Children's Crusade. So pray for that ministry as those DVDs will go out into homes, and children and also maybe parents and adults in the home as well sit down to listen to the Word of God in this fashion, that God would speak and that God would bless and that God would save. So do remember that ministry, please, in your prayers. Pray also for our Sunday school and our youth fellowship at this time, that the Lord would encourage our children, our young people. They're off school and they can no longer mix in the fashion which they did do. So pray for them. The Lord will encourage them, those that have important choices to make at this time, that the Lord will guide them. Remember online services as well here. Pray for God's blessing upon them. And do remember the sick and the infirm and the shut-ins from our congregation. Pray for them. Pray for our brother Harold. He's commenced a second course of treatment. Remember him in your prayers. Do remember also Mrs. Cook in your prayers as well. Do remember others that are ill, Dr. Wilson as well, who's ill, and others connected with our church, not only here but further afield, that they'll know God's healing hand. And remember the bereaved as well, connected with our congregation. Remember Mrs. Hicks and her family, that they will know God's comfort. And pray for our missionaries as well, at home and abroad. Maybe you could remember the Boyle family laboring in Mexico, and also the work of Let the Bible Speak Ministries that spreads the Word of God across the world. Just some things to be much in prayer about. And then, of course, the COVID situation as well in our land and in our nation. But we'll just seek the Lord in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank thee, Lord, for thy presence with us tonight and help given in the ministry of thy word. Bless thy word, Lord. Bless it to our hearts. Help each one of us who are saved to walk circumspectly in this ungodly world, that others would take note that we've been to Jesus. We realize, O God, we have no strength of our own to do this. But we thank thee for the third person, the Holy Ghost himself, who comes alongside. And Lord, we do pray for us here in Bethel as a people, that each and every one of us who know and love the Lord as Savior would be a people filled with God the Holy Ghost, that by our life day by day we might show something of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. O God, we pray. Remember the work of Bethel Children's Crusade. And bless Gillian as she oversees this work. Bless the DVDs as they go out week by week to the children in the community. And as they hear the Word of God and sing the courses and are taught the memory verse even in this fashion at this time, we pray, Lord, that there'll be much fruit from it. Many children will come to know the Lord, and parents also. And those who are saved would be built up in the things of God. Bless our Sunday school, our youth fellowship. Remember especially our children and our young people. And Lord, guide them and direct them and help them through these difficult days to cast every care upon the Lord. Bless our online meetings as well, week by week, as the word goes forth. Use it to the extension of thy kingdom. We pray for the sick tonight, the elderly, the shut in. Remember Brother Harold as he has commenced the second round of treatment. Give him help and strength day by day. O God, we pray. Remember Mrs. Lord Cook as well. Lord, touch her and strengthen her and raise her up. Remember Dr. Wilson as well and others connected with our church, not only here but further afield who are ill at this time. Touch them and strengthen them and raise them up to the glory of God. We pray for our missionaries that thou wilt bless them. Remember the Boyle family in Mexico. Watch over them, bless them, protect them, encourage them. Meet their needs. We pray that through their labors many will come to know the Lord. That's the work of the Let the Bible Speak ministry as well. We pray that thou wilt bless it as it goes, sends the word of God across the airwaves and across the television stations as well, Lord, as people listen and watch. Bless your word and use it in a mighty and a powerful way at this time, we pray. Remember again the COVID situation in our land. Just put thy restraining hand upon it, O God, at this time. Answer prayer. Take of our thanks for thy presence with us. Bless us each one, wherever we might be, until we meet again around the word of God. For we pray and we ask all these things for Jesus' sake and glory. Amen.